Welcome to The Muddy Show, and Anna Rosholt joins us this evening, the founder and owner of Anna Rosholt Jewelry in our Friday File. Now, Friday File is where we look at the luxury side of life, and anybody who's looking for gifts at this time of the year can get some good tips from our Friday File over the months past. And Anna, when did you start making jewelry? Because this isn't something that you kind of just fall into with a hammer, a chisel and some precious metals and sparkly stones one day.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me. You're quite right. My jewelry journey started in university. I studied I studied jewelry design in the fine art department at Stellenbosch. And yeah, I've just always had a love for details and jewelry. And yeah, so that was probably about 9 years ago now that I started the business.
Jewelry design and jewelry manufacture are two different things. One's an engineering task and one's an artistic task. What married the two?
For sure. My focus is mostly design. That's what I really, really love. Mm-hmm. I am trained in manufacturing as well. I think that it's good to sort of play to your strengths. And I really love the design aspect and coming up with interesting shapes and textures and sort of proportions. So that's what really interests me.
Talk to me about your studio. Talk to me about the space that you inhabit, the people that you work with, that get you from drawing. And I've seen pictures on your website of you sketching in notebooks, and it's all very elegant, and it looks like the early Walt Disney sketches of Mickey Mouse, for example. It's the beginnings of something great.
Yes. Yes, we have a lot of fun in studio. There's a team of four of us. It's four ladies. And we do some manufacturing on site and we do design. So we get, in terms of custom pieces, we get gemstones in and we have a look at those together with our clients, which is always really awesome. So we source that and we've constantly got a flow of interesting gemstones and people in and out the studio. So it's a really fun, like, social feeling. And yeah, the four of us girls have a really great time. We pack orders and we chat to clients and yeah, it's really, really nice.
It's work. Of course, it's work, but it does sound like it's a lifestyle work, a job as well. Because I mean, here you are, because you do bespoke jewelry, and because you then somebody comes in and says, "Oh, I like those stones, and I like that those metals, and I like this particular style," and you'll sit and you'll spend hours, I'm sure, collaborating with people. How do you price that? Because it's all well and good you go to American Swiss, forgive me, or Stearns, you get what you get, and you don't get upset. But if you're going to ask somebody to make you a piece of jewelry, it's a fundamentally different relationship that has to be established and built on.
For sure. Yeah, it's so personal. Definitely with the bespoke pieces, it's people come to you and they want something that's going to last for years. So that's a huge thing for me. It needs to be really good quality that we produce in the end. And also something that means something to them. It's an heirloom. It's something that they're going to keep and treasure and pass on to their children. So it's really, really important that sort of aspect of it is fulfilled as well. I like to focus and listen to what the client wants out of the piece and just make sure that it's something that they really love, because at the end of the day, they're spending a lot of money and it needs to be something gorgeous and something that just really makes them happy every day when they're wearing it, when they look at it, if they're giving it to someone. So that's a really, really important thing for me.
I don't know how anybody would dare to come to you to have something made for somebody else. Buying jewelry is it is such a deeply personal thing, and you've got to have an extraordinary amount of confidence, one, to go and buy a piece that exists, but to go and design something for somebody else is a massively courageous enterprise. How does that work out usually in your experience?
I know it is. It's a daunting thing, especially I find with men who are wanting to propose. It's a terrifying task. They've made a huge decision. They're spending their savings on something that's really, really important, and it marks an important occasion in their lives. So yeah, I do a lot of chatting together with the client to get a sense of their style, their partner's style. And we do a little bit of Facebook stalking here and there. We luckily girls often have Pinterest pages, so we can see kind of what their likes and dislikes are. But yeah, it's a very scary thing designing for someone that you don't necessarily know.
I mean, there are lots of wonderful jewelers in South Africa making wonderful objects. And it is this ultimate idea of beneficiation. We have such great raw materials from South Africa. The metals are here. The stones are from here. We've got such a wide array for you to choose from. You've got your studio in Cape Town. This idea of beneficiating raw materials for clients, I'm sure, around the globe.
Sorry, missed that, Bruce.
Now, I mean, you've got this wonderful opportunity to beneficiate the product of South Africa's earth for clients, I'm assuming, around the world.
Yes, yeah. We get emails all the time with people asking, they want something that's specifically from South Africa. They love that it's locally made. They want to know that their stones came from South Africa or Africa. It's a connection to the place and the soil that it was all made out of. It's a great opportunity to sort of showcase what our country can produce.
Are you selling jewelry or are you selling art pieces?
It's a good question. I like to think little art pieces because there's so much love and attention put into each little thing that we send out of the studio. As I said, we've got a big focus on quality. I would far, far rather a client bought one amazing, like super special piece that they will hold onto for years instead of buying something every 6 months and maybe tossing it aside. I like to think that our pieces are little artworks going out into the world.
I mean, I look at your pieces and they're gloriously contemporary and they're gloriously classical in many respects as well. However, I look at jewelry from the past and everything dates. How do you design a piece of jewelry to give it wearability across generations? Because somebody who buys a piece from you today will happily wear it for the next 30 or 40 years. It doesn't mean that their children or grandchildren will want to wear the same piece. Is it possible to get multi-generational pieces designed?
True. Yeah, it's really, really difficult. But it is interesting to see the way styles are coming back. So, for instance, at the moment, there's a big interest again in signet rings, and everyone wants their family crest, and there's a lot of rings being pulled out of cupboards that have been sitting around for years that people haven't worn. And even granny's chains, everything is kind of coming to the surface. So we often, what we do is, not all of it dates, and I think that's always the case because there will always be trends. But the nice thing about jewelry is that it can be reworked and it can be
updated.
That's
the point. Thank you for making that point, because it's the ultimate in recyclability. The gold is the gold. The stones are the stones. They can be reworked to whatever the fashion is going to be 30 or 40 years from now.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we do it all the time. And it's really, it's fantastic because the stones get reused and the metal gets reused and the sentimentality of the piece still remains. But they have something fresh and something that they feel is new, but still has that history, which is awesome.
Anna Rosholt, thank you for sharing with us this evening, the founder and owner of Anna Rosholt Jewelry.